Have it more abundantly.
And took the nails for me. This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, hello there. This is Pastor David, and guess who I have with us, with me?
I'm back.
He's
Pastor
back.
Barry.
Yeah, right.
I'm back.
He said he'd be back, and he is, and praise God. I'm so glad you're back together. I was telling you that I was really fun, felt funny doing this by myself last time.
Well, that means you're sitting in a room talking to yourself.
Pretty much, and I do that anyway, but, you know, I missed the interchange that we have and how God moves through both of us. It's really kind of cool, and I did it because we needed a fresh program, but I'm glad you're back. I'm glad everything's good.
Thank you.
At home. And
thank God and thank all of my Christian family, the body of Christ, for their prayers.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
And they will continue, we know. Well, I'll tell you what, we're doing this the next 3 weeks. You know, we love to do 3 weeks in a row, and there's always a theme. And one of the things that I called you bishop last time because you are.
Yeah, the cat's out of the bag.
So am I, actually. Yeah, but we're pastors, basically. We're not big on titles. But
no.
Mentioning that our whole desire in doing this program at all is because God put it on our heart to help the church get ready for this revival. You know, and there's a lot of people out there doing what we're doing, brother. You know, the people out there encouraging the body of Christ, getting
Amen.
Them focused on what God is doing, encouraging the basic spiritual practices that grow your faith, you know, the reading of the Bible, the worship, the prayer, the service to God, all that stuff. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at the different aspects of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is the church, but guess what? He's the head, we're the body, the parts thereof, and he wants to be seen in his church today. And there are a lot of people, I have to say, have been going to church for a long time, and when I say that, they scratch their head. They say, well, what does he mean by that? You know, well, because they haven't really been led into the Word. If you're one of those people, then please especially stick for the next three episodes.
Absolutely.
You know,
you need to be spiritually fed. And
yes.
David and I, we were just praying before the show that we remove ourselves, our ego, our thoughts, and we ask the Lord to speak through us.
Amen.
Each and every show. Whenever we present the gospel to anyone, we need to get out of the way. And so that's what we do. So if you think that this is a brilliant show, it's not us. God is indeed brilliant.
Really, really.
It's him speaking, not us.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So Barry, our scripture for this is a psalm that everyone knows or should know.
The 23rd Psalm.
Yeah. Would you read that, brother?
I would love to. It'd be an honor. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Wow. This is, of course, King David, who wrote the Psalms, was very much deep in the spirit when he wrote this. And, he was pulling on his own years as a shepherd, and he understood
That's right.
how shepherds work. But he also knew God, and that God came to him as a shepherd, revealed himself as a shepherd. And, of course, Jesus is God. So even then, David didn't know his name, but he knew God, and the shepherd, the good shepherd, was speaking to him. And I think this psalm is a psalm that if you ever want to know what the character of the church, of the body of Christ, should be.
Right here.
There it is, right there. Mm-hmm. And of course, this theme is repeated in the Old and New Testament. The compassionate, merciful shepherd who is God, you know, comes through all of that. And this is what today, and in every age, those who are lost, I mean, they aren't saved, they don't know God, they don't know, maybe they don't want to at this point, yeah. And yet, you know, God comes through his people, when God moves through his people, in such a way that we step out, as you said earlier, we step aside and let the shepherd, the good shepherd, come through in our lives, then the lost are able then to experience the presence of Jesus in his shepherding directed at them. And this is what brings so many to Christ, to turn their lives over to him.
They see a church. They pull off the road and they go into a church.
Yeah.
And this is where us as Christians, we call ourselves Christians, right, David?
Yeah.
It is so important to live the word, to walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
Right.
In a feeding ministry locally, there is, you probably know, I don't want to, you know, blow anybody else's horn, but there is a church that feeds about 1,000 families. And it's hard work, and it gets a little chaotic and crowded, and people are coming in that don't attend that church.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have ended up coming to that church,
right?
Because they walk right into open arms. They walk right into love. They walk right into someone who, yes, they're going to fulfill their needs for food and for drink and to nourish their bodies, but they're also witnessing people who do this out of love, and they have a sincere heart.
Amen.
And sometimes churches will disappoint. Sometimes they may judge someone who comes in who maybe hasn't had a hygienic moment in a few weeks, or they're dressed in the same clothes for a month, and you know they just wandered in. I and the other pastor encourage the volunteers to look for the eyes of Jesus Christ looking back at you, not the person who his physical mess, who is lost, because that is one of the lost sheep walking in your purview, your presence. It's time to step up. You may memorize every verse in the Bible, and it's worthless if you don't reach out a hand and love that person, because you may be the one being called forth to be the minister. You may be called forth for someone who needs to understand these scriptures. And you'll say, well, I'm not the pastor, I'm not the minister, he's in the back in the office, I'm just a volunteer. No, in that moment of time, guess what? You might be a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David and I were talking before that shepherds are not just pastors and ministers and preachers and such. We even talked about the father in the home being the shepherd of the home.
Yes.
And so we need to look at this word and not stuff it in a comfortable little box saying, that's for them to do, not me.
Yeah, exactly. Not my job.
Not my job. No. And so we need to always have that in our mind, the presence of mind, that at any moment you might be called forth to be a shepherd.
And especially in these days, brother.
Right.
You know, because of the how intense things are in the world. It's not just in America, but that's where we live, so we see it more intensely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the chaos and the pain and the suffering, the anger, the lies, you know, and all those things we're struggling with. And, you know, what in every age, by the way, because this is human condition.
Right.
You know, Jesus has always been, the church has always been there to reach out, to bring that compassionate peace into the midst of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what draws people to Christ, as we said. So today, you know, and we've got to get it out of our heads. And I'm glad that Barry brought this up, because mm-hmm. that's always been an issue for me. Is, you know, and we're both ordained, and all, it's wonderful, you know, and we've done what God wanted to do. And there are people called to that, to be ordained, to have a pastoral role that's official,
right.
You know, with all the certificates on the wall,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all the clothing that goes with it, all that stuff. And you can tell I'm not that enamored by that at this point. But the point is that, you know, when you were baptized, you became a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
By the grace of God, that's one of the gifts, one of the opportunities to serve Jesus that comes to every Christian in baptism, right?
That's right.
And
when you are a shepherd, you look at this. Look at Psalm 23. Because you might say, well, I don't know how to be a shepherd. Yes, you do. It's all right here.
Yeah.
In fact, David and I were just talking earlier about verse 4. That walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, we do that every time we open the door and get in our car and leave.
Pretty much,
especially, you know, with some of the drivers out there. But following that, it said, "For I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, a rod and a staff is not something you would use to pet your little pet dog or your kitty cat or whatever you got. A rod and a staff are for guidance and discipline of your sheep so they don't get themselves in trouble.
Absolutely.
There are roaring wolves out there. We know.
Yes.
That is a truth. That's a truth that the evil one is waiting for his opportunity, just as a wolf or a lion. They're opportunistic. And sheep don't know that. They don't recognize that. But a good shepherd, he'll take the rod and he'll keep them from going down into the embankment and falling into the river. But the staff, too, has a hook on it, and he's pulling
That's
the
right.
sheep back into the path that is safest and best and most nurturing for them.
That's right, because... sorry, Barry, you're going to say...
Well, it's just that these can also be used as weapons against the evil one.
Absolutely.
You know, the wolf and the lion. A shepherd are willing to give their life for their sheep, and we know that because it's in our Bible. True shepherd, a real shepherd, and they go up against some pretty frightening creatures to protect the innocent sheep. So if you don't know how to be a shepherd, I would suggest that you read this, the 23rd Psalm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And then keep in mind, and some people say, oh, but I hear what you're saying, but I'm so scared. You know, I understand that. Hey, mm-hmm. folks, listen, if you're a believer, you walk, just thinking about walking out of your house into today's world, mm-hmm. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord, it can be kind of scary.
Sure.
But it starts out, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, okay, so we've got God here who is empowering you. When we read that, it tells me, and it should tell you, that this call to be a ministry of shepherding, and probably one-on-one, sometimes you'd be called, you know, there'd be a larger group, but the point is that God's going to give you what you need at the time.
Right. He'll equip you.
Equip you. His grace, as Paul says, is sufficient, and we need to trust him. Yes, we grow in that.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't guarantee you the first day you decide, before you walk through the door of your house out into the world to say, I am going to serve God today as a shepherd, you know, and you've never done that before, but you're just going to go out there. Well, I'm not going to guarantee it's all going to be sweetness and light.
No, you're not always received with love and praise and admiration. No. You might even be made fun of.
But you move forward.
You move forward. I work in nursing homes as a chaplain, and I always... And my sermonettes, if you will, because again, I'm preaching to people that have been Christians now for 90 years or more. And in some cases, they have been preachers in their life. Right now, mm-hmm. I've got a building that's got four preachers that attend the service. Talk about Christian hecklers.
They know how to heckle, too.
They know how to heckle, and they're always right. But I empower them when I leave. I says, I've got to go home. You live here. And there will be people coming into this building that are frightened.
Yeah.
That are confused, that are tempted, all kinds of things going on. And when I'm not here, guess what? You're up to bat.
Yeah.
You've got to speak the truth in love. And some people may be making a wrong left or right turn in whatever they're doing that may harm themselves.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you have people that aren't even a sheep yet. They don't know what they are because they don't know Christ. They don't know anything about it.
That's
Believe
right.
it or not, there are people in their 80s and 90s who have still put their hand up and said no thank you to Christ.
Yep.
I call them my gamblers, the risk takers. Okay, but I found out in one of my buildings that there are several fellows that have taken it upon themselves to be the shepherd when I'm not there.
Mm.
And they're doing some mighty stuff, mighty work, not only with other residents or patients, but they're evangelizing the nursing staff. And keeping them in the straight and narrow, in as long as they're in their presence. We don't know what happens when people go home, but at work, during the work day, whether that's day or night, We had several shepherds in the building. And I love that. I love that because I said you were a preacher back in the 50s or 60s or 70s, and you retired. Well, guess what? There's no retirement from being commissioned to share this gospel and to shepherd his people.
Amen.
You can say you're tired and sit down. Well, then work while you're sitting down.
Yeah, and give that tiredness to God.
Oh, yeah.
Say, and Lord, help me, fill me.
That's right.
You know, there was one of the things that's important to say, and again, you are a shepherd, whether you realize it or not. But mm-hmm. So now is the time to pray and ask God to show you what your shepherding looks like. Mm-hmm. You're representing Jesus, you know. And even if you have, and I hope you have a really great pastor, you know. In fact, I hope your pastor is the kind of pastor that if there's a Shepherd's Hall of Fame somewhere, that his picture is in the lobby. You know, when you go in there, it is,
statue,
or her picture.
A large statue.
Yeah, a large statue to say the shepherd of the shepherds, because that person then would, if they really are deserving, mm-hmm. because they've really let Jesus work in their lives to such an extent that his shepherding has been seen and experienced. So, but here's the deal. I want you to know, everybody who is a believer has something in their life that God either is healing you mm-hmm. of or has. Because some of us are in process, you know. What do we say? You know, God's not done with me yet. But I will tell you from my experience, now you've heard, most of you have heard me admit to, I come from a family that probably invented addictions and just, you know, spread them around.
Did
you
they
know,
get a patent really, or a copyright on yeah, that?
They are. Well, you know, they're all common human addictions, but I've told people about the anorexia that God delivered me mm-hmm. from, the tobacco that God delivered me from, the alcohol abuse that God delivered me from. So in the course of my ministry, as long as I had, now we just have our home church, which is great, mm-hmm. but when I had a pulpit in the larger church, God told me not to be anonymous. And so not only would I preach and share the gospel, what Jesus, the good shepherd, did mm-hmm. to deliver me, you know, and I was saved, but you can be saved and still be kind of wandering around lost, you know, not lost in terms of your spirit. Right. You know where you're going. You're going to be with Jesus. But just because once you come to Jesus doesn't mean you're immediately cleansed and perfected. You know, that doesn't happen in this life.
That's true.
So we bring into our relationship with the Lord all of these things. So God, we submit our lives to God. Some of us do it a lot easier than others. Like, mm-hmm. well, I'm not one of the former, I'm afraid. But he's done a lot of work in my life so that when I am out there in the world pastoring, and by that I'm being in my baptized ministry, not in the ministry that some church ordained me to with a plaque on the wall, mm-hmm. but I mean in my baptismal ministry as a shepherd for Jesus. Because of those things, when I meet people that have eating disorders, when I meet people that have anxiety issues,
sure.
when I meet people who are still practicing their alcoholism, and some are doing a pretty good job, I got to tell you. Almost perfected it. You know, I don't have to beat around the bush with them because Jesus has cleansed me, delivered me, mm-hmm. and he didn't make me, by the way, someone that would pound them on the head. You know, and the shepherd doesn't come along and start beating you up. The shepherd is there to love on you.
Right.
But there's such a thing as tough love. And so in my shepherding that I do for Jesus, when I meet any of those people, mm-hmm. I can get right in their face in love.
Right.
And when they start giving me, because man, you know, I've told every lie mm-hmm. probably several times. I know how the denial and alcoholism and all the other addictions, I know how play that game.
Right.
When someone else is playing me that way, I've got to say, look, you know, I know what you're doing and you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And God loves you and he wants to heal you. So let's get past all that crap, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And get hone in right on the truth is the shepherd, the good shepherd, wants to save your soul. And he'd love to do it today. And I would love to be the man who is going to help you find, you know, receive Jesus into your heart.
I think that's the best way, the best route. If you wonder, in your sufferings with alcoholism or whatever else you're addicted to. Why, Lord? Why? Mm. Why? And then a light bulb goes off later on when you see yourself and someone else.
Yeah.
And you are more than equipped to deal with it and
yes.
save them some of the heartache that you had.
Absolutely.
You know, remove some years of bondage that you had. And there's a beauty in that, David, and there's a commitment and there's love in that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that what I've just spoken, what Barry and I have just spoken of, I believe is captured in verse 5, the first part of verse 5. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies."
Mm.
And I would say, especially if you're a sheep who's lost, and we're going to talk more about lost sheep in the next episode, if you will. But to prepare a table before me is to have everything that is needed for that moment.
Right.
And so when you as a shepherd are sent to a lost sheep, someone that really needs to hear the gospel, and particularly because what he's led you from, what he's healed you from and delivered you from, they're still struggling with, then that which he has prepared for them through you,
mm-hmm.
when you offer that, that's a healing moment, you know? And you know, and they know, and certainly God knows that it's crystal clear, 24 karat truth,
mm-hmm.
and there's no room for denial because you know what that's all about, and you can minister to those people.
And they will also witness your joy and peace that you have having gone through it and come out of it.
Amen.
And you know, I look at these six verses, and you can break it down to from the beginning to the end. The Lord did this for me, and this for me, and this for me, and even this for me, and then he did this for me, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, because of all that the Lord has done for me, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Why? Because the shepherd took care of you.
Yeah.
And you were obedient to the shepherd. It's just beauty. And my friends, we were talking earlier before the show that why wait to read this at a funeral?
Yeah.
Why wait to stand by a graveside when all this is available to you forever in your young life, your middle-aged life? It's always there. My dear friends, open your Bibles and look. The Lord loves you so much. Over and over, he's telling you how much he loves you. And you scratch Amen. Your head saying, I just can't imagine how much he loves me. Well, read your Bibles and you'll get a glimpse
yes.
of just how much he loves you.
And if you're afraid to read your Bible, then at least ask God to send you someone that knows the Word of God that
Amen.
Can share it with you.
Mm-hmm.
God's got a plan, and for everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're listening tonight, if you're lost, if you don't, by that I mean you don't know the Lord. You may think you do, but things aren't working. Your life is, you feel like you're dangling over a sinkhole.
Right.
You know, it's just not a great place to
David
be.
David paints these vivid pictures in my mind. I've always teased him, because David's a cartoonist too. And when we have our conversations, because our wives will tell you, both of us are really good at digression and throwing out all kinds of imaginary stories. And I'll say something, and I could tell that David's already drawn the cartoon in his
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, it's a gift. God has given it to me.
It's a beautiful thing.
You know, but if that's where you are today, then really it's you're just one utterance away.
Mm.
Say, what? An utterance? What's that? Well, an utterance simply is to speak to the Lord and say, I need what you've got for me.
And when you say I need to the Lord, he's always faithful. He'll
yeah.
always answer.
He won't wait. He won't make you stand in line like if you're applying for Social Security. Or Barry yes. and I know all about that.
Yeah, been through that.
Oh, man, you know. Any government agency, but you know, God bless those that work there for sure. But no, if you don't, God is right there.
Mm-hmm.
There is no red tape with God. And this wonderful psalm that we've been talking about for the last 23 minutes and 23 seconds, how do I know that? Well, yeah. I'm looking at the timer, but it really cuts to the chase.
It does.
And we all hungry. Listen, we're all hungry for compassion. We want. You know what we want? I'm telling you, folks, everybody, we want God the Father. We want to be in the throne room and God the Father to look at us and open his arms and say, come jump in my lap. I want to give you a big hug.
Amen, brother.
You know, this is what we, I don't care how hard your heart is. I don't care how horrible your life is. I mean, I care for you, but I'm saying that whatever you have put between you and God is nothing. For God, because all the reason you're doing that,
mm-hmm.
piling junk between you and God is because, you know, you really are afraid.
Ah.
You are afraid, and you're afraid of what God's going to do. And the point is, what God's going to do is make you the best you could ever be.
The authentic you.
The authentic you, and he's going to do it over time. And he's going to do it in a loving, shepherding way, you know?
There's no cause for fear. We're the ones who create the fear.
Yeah, we do. We're afraid. And, of course, the enemy's there saying, yeah, yeah, God's really going to mess you up, boy or girl or whatever it is. He's going to mess you up.
Well, we need to learn to cover our ears when he's around.
Yeah,
say, la,
yeah.
La, 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 la,
because the enemy loves to lie.
Yes. And he's good at it.
Well, he's been doing it for like ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Before we were even born, and we're old.
We're, yeah, really. Yeah. Not as old as dirt, but we're getting there. Oh, we have a couple of minutes yet before we have to go. And do tune in next week. Again, we're going to be talking more about seeking the lost.
Seeking
that's,
the lost.
Yeah. That's going to, and if you're a church person, you're a God person, God believer, and you know, you're involved in ministry and you've been blessed and you're anointed by the Spirit and all that, you need to listen. You need to make sure you're doing what God wants you to do
and have
as
the faith,
in the body of Christ.
That's right, and have the faith to step off that boat into the water, because when you're called to be a shepherd, it's like David just said, it can be scary.
It can be.
Trust in the Lord.
If there is something that God calls you to be that isn't scary, then you're not hearing it right.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be a nice, smoothly paved road.
No. It's going to have a measure of a challenge to you because it's bigger than you.
Ah, okay.
That's why we need God. That's why this starts, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
I'm not my own shepherd. No. If I was, I'd be shaken in my boots.
You can't go to a personnel pool and hire a temporary shepherd.
No, you can't. Right? Well, Jesus talked about those. That's a whole nother scripture.
Yeah.
You know, about all that came before me were thieves and robbers.
Uh-huh. Right?
The hired hands. Right?
Runs away when things get tough.
Oh. Barry, would you close us in prayer, brother?
I would love to. Holy Father, you are indeed our dad, our papa, our father. For those of you out there who maybe didn't have a close relationship with your father, perhaps there was an emotional gap, something, whatever it was, and you can't process what a true loving father is, I ask you now to close your eyes. Close your eyes and ask the Father to just pour his love out upon you. Trust in your holy shepherd. Holy Father, bless your people with a sense that their father is the type of father that watches over them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, year in, year out. And when they're in frightening times, Lord, empower them to stand up on wobbly, shaky legs and say, I am really trusting God today, my Father, my Shepherd. Save me. I trust you. I know you can do it because you are God. You can do anything. So, Lord, we close out in prayer by praying this prayer through your precious Son, our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
See you next week or talk to you next week. God love you.
God bless. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.